we will turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 5. I always wondered why the Bible says that when Paul said, I stood before you in fear and in trembling. I always wonder what that meant when he said that. And this is the first time that I really felt this urgency, this need to be very mindful of how God's leading. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Thank you, sister.
Amen.
Yeah, I did say it backwards. But he wants me to read that scripture, actually. My goodness. Before you go there, go to Matthew 5, just one page over. And this verse is actually for someone in the service right now. Blessed are they. 5:6. I'm sorry if I didn't say it loud enough. 5 verse 6. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
That's for someone that's right here. Now, the scripture that's going to lead me into the sermon is found in Matthew 6, verse 5. Lord, help us to be sensitive to your spirit. When you say stop, let us stop. When you say go forward, let's go forward.
Amen.
And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. What that indicates to me is that God wants us to realize that we're not, what we do is not for show, it's not for putting ourselves on display. And as we read further in verse 6, it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Can everyone say amen?
Amen.
The title of this message is, I've been given access. And let's pray over the word. Let's pray over our hearts. God sees our hearts as we're standing before him. I pray, dear God, that there would be an expectation in the spirit, that there will be revelations given, that your truth will go forth with power and demonstration of your spirit, seen and unseen. I pray that you would speak to the heart of every individual in this house so that we might have revival in our spirits, in our minds, in our hearts. We pray for those that are grieving over loss. We pray for those that are tired in their bodies. We pray for those that are seeking answers, Lord. I pray, dear God, so much for those that will hear the word and respond to it in like manner, in Jesus' name. The title again is, I've been given access. Church, you may be seated. Praise God. This is something that I'm not aware of, but it's never happened as far as I know. I've never come to church ready to preach, and it wasn't my turn. Pastor Perkins looked at me and said, you thought you were going to preach today, didn't you? It wasn't today, it was last week. And I laughed, but God says, you know, the Lord's been really dealing with me about being prepared. Being prepared for what he wants to do. Not what my agenda is, what I want to do, but what he wants to do. There was a man, well, let me tell you the process real quickly. There's a young man, I've mentioned him before because he is going to be here at some point. His name is Terrence. He's a co-worker of mine now. And when he came to work, I'm trying to connect the story. When he came to work the first day, I felt the Holy Ghost moving in me, and I was to tell him that everything about the job. And I'm thinking like, I don't want anybody to work here because I don't like working here. I would not suggest you work there. That was my mentality. But with him, I said, this place is suitable for you. And I was so definitive on my answers. I was saying that, you know, you should apply for this job. And I said, you need it. And I felt this urgency to tell him, do it today. Apply for this job. And whenever you have an opportunity, fill out that application, do the onboarding process, get ready because this job is for you. And they give us, see, most jobs give you an apartment with 20, 30, 40% off, but this is a free apartment. And for some reason, God's telling me to tell you that you need to apply for this job and get this apartment because he wants to rebuild your life. He said the people that are in your residence or place where you live right now, their heart's not right towards you. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is for this reason. When you have the Holy Ghost, God does not just show you the person's heart that's in front of you, but he can also show you the hearts of people around them.
Right.
You need to understand it because, see, when God starts moving the way he's about to start moving, and he's already, like, started it, he's going to open up giftings in you that you haven't seen operate before. And when you start seeing that, you've got to be aware that God is not that something that you would shrug off or push it away. Because I've never been so adamant when I was talking to him. I've never been like that. I'm always very kind of cautious, not trying to offend. But in the hour that we're living in, we've got to be a little bit bolder.
Yeah.
We've got to be a little more certain. If he senses doubt in me, why would he trust me?
Yeah.
When we act like we're afraid to share the blessings of the Lord, because the Bible says the blessings of the Lord make it rich, and he added no sorrow to it.
Yes.
So whenever you tell somebody that God, something that God's put on their heart, they're going to be blessed. They're going to be encouraged. They're going to be strengthened. God's going to do something in their lives. And you have to know that God wants to use you as his vessel. When I wrote this testimony, I mean, I took this sermon, when I put it together before, as the Lord was leading me, he said it was time to go to work. And our work is the kingdom work, right? Amen?
Amen.
And what it involves, he wants it to be so permeated in our bodies, our souls, our minds, our spirit, that it's natural for us to witness. It's natural for us to have the joy of the Lord.
That's right.
It's natural for us to be
that's
happy.
Right.
It's natural. Because that's what he paid the price for.
Right.
In a few minutes, I want to read a letter to you from Jesus. He wants you to go back and read it and hear it in a different way, because you have to understand that it's for you. That is for you. Praise God. So we have been given access to the things of God, not to just behold them, but to partake in them. To partake in something is if I had a piece of cake and I was eating it, and I said, Risa, would you like to partake? She would just get a fork, and she would get up and join me in partaking in that cake.
Yeah.
It's a part of, God wants you to partake in his kingdom.
Yeah.
See, I don't know where fear comes from, because the Bible says that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power,
amen,
and of love, and of a sound mind. So if ever fear enters into the picture, you have to rebuke that fear. And you do have the authority to do that.
Yes.
Because he said, all authority is given unto me, speaking of Christ. But when he's gone, he's giving it to you. He's giving that authority to rebuke, to correct, to hold back the forces of evil, to pray for people that they receive what they need from God. It's on us.
Yes.
It's on us. And it's not so much that you're better than those that are lost.
That's right.
I went through that process. Don't ever feel like you're better than someone else. Don't go there. Don't put yourself in a position where God has to humble you. Because I came here complaining about the lost, not loving the lost. And it was probably very evident when I was speaking. It's like, man, and you say you're a Christian. God had to take me through that transformation in front of you, so that if any of you were riding on my ship of looking at the world the wrong way, that you could get off of it when I got off of it. He allowed you to go with me through that journey of that transformation in my thinking, so that I would have compassion. See, what he showed me is that the reason you don't have compassion for other people, because you haven't worked on yourself.
Yes.
Oh, God. I'm going to say it again. If you ever find yourself in a place where you're judging, finding fault, finding anything wrong with the loss, it's because you have not dealt with your own things. And when you don't deal with what's in your own heart, you judge, you find fault with, you accuse, you look down on, you judge, you find fault. But when you start dealing with your own heart, and that's what the 30 days and a year is for. It's this. I've been in church since I was 25 and I'm 60. What am I now? 64. I don't even claim it. I'm older now. And in all that time, I've never been in a church like this. And you guys don't know what it feels like. Because see, you can go through churches, and I know that God plucked us up and planted us, to teach us things that we could not learn in one place. But here, you have to understand that everything that that God has planted in the heart of our pastor and his wife was planted there for us, so that because they were being obedient, saying this is what God wants us to do, and we've got to do is just walk in it. All you got to do is walk in it. I'm planting this so you can walk in it. I'm planting in your life prayer so you can walk in it. I'm planting your life doing Bible studies and studying the Word of God so you can walk in it. I'm planting in this so that I can have a revival. And if you're not doing it, you're holding God back.
Yes, yes, amen.
Because see, we have to understand that if you're lacking anything, it's because you're not giving anything.
Yes. Yes.
I'm serious. If you're not, for instance, he caught up, oh, Shantala Messiah. I was telling the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, our house is too small for what we have. And some of you might come to our house and be like, man, you guys are clutterbugs or whatever. What do you got, hoarders? You have so much stuff in your house. But he said, you never asked for a bigger house because you didn't have the faith that you could afford it. You see, you have to understand that if I come into the church and I don't have faith like my pastor does, I can become a hindrance if I'm not careful. Because he could be praying for a church building, and I'm like, oh, I don't think we can afford that with such a small congregation. You see, you've got to get past the veil of your flesh. The veil of your flesh is what binds you or blinds you to the things of God. Your flesh is what does it. If you don't understand that, understand it now. Your flesh. If you can't believe God for something, it's your flesh. And the only way that you deal with flesh and sin and anything else in their life that hinders you from seeing God the way he is that you crucify it.
Amen.
You've got to crucify your flesh. Help me, Jesus. Help me to crucify my flesh when I can't see what they've been implementing. You see, if you're stubborn, that's your flesh. If you're lustful, that's your flesh. And if those things are hindering you from serving God, you've got to crucify it. Put it to death. Let it have no voice. Your flesh has a voice. It has an opinion about everything. And you've got to understand that when you're operating your flesh, there's no good thing in this flesh. There's nothing good in it. That's why we don't worship each other. You know, my pastor and his wife are very cautious about people giving them honor and things like that, but we were supposed to honor those that are leaders in the church, amen? And we're supposed to give honor to who honor's due. And I honor them because of their obedience. Because if somebody hadn't been obedient, I would not have known what obedience looks like. You see, when there was ever a sacrifice, hear me, whenever there was a sacrifice that in the Old Testament, when they put it on an altar, there was something that was said about that flesh. The fat had to be cut off first. And what am I saying? What am I talking about? Anything that's unnecessary gets cut, trimmed off of you. Any attitudes, anything, any words that you use. Because see, if the Bible says that your mouth is the mouthpiece for God, you can't let anything just come out your mouth. You can't just let any, you know, when we are, how can I say this, Father? When we are in a place where we are saying things that are not edifying and glorifying to the Lord, giving glory to the body and to Christ, it will seem as though he will shut you down. You'll wonder like, man, every time I get around my family, I'm having arguments because your mouth isn't right. And he can't let your mouth be around anybody. Does that make sense? When you feel like you're always in controversy or in problems in your family, it's not them, it's you. Because there's something in you that will hinder them from coming in. Any kind of attitude that you have can stop your family from coming to God. So what he will do, he will isolate you. He will separate you so that you can be sanctified by his spirit. So that once you've been sanctified, you can go back in them and reach them. So don't be upset when you're lonely. Because when you're not hearing his voice, you need to sanctify yourself. Because he says, when it comes to pride, some people say, well, I don't hear God's voice like so-and-so. No, it's not that. God is not a respectable person. That's not God's character.
That's right. That's right.
God speaks to everybody, but he won't speak to you when you knowingly have sin in your life. He will not speak to you when you won't deal with what he wants you to deal with. If you have pride, he wants you to deal with it. And not just say, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I have pride. That's not it. He wants to get that out of your fabric. He wants to remove it out of your heart. Because when he looks at you, all he sees is your pride. He wants to see a reflection of himself. And in him, there was no pride. Think about it. All he's trying to do is, if you're with me, he wants you to be completely with me.
Yes.
He wants you to be sanctified by what? His Spirit. Working in you so that you're like him and not like the old man. So that you have that testimony. I used to be like this, but now I'm like this. You have, and that's a continual growth. So what was planted in our pastor and his wife was planted, therefore, in the church. And if it's planted in the church, God expects fruit. The natural thing, in a natural sense, there was a time when Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field or wherever fig trees grow, and they saw something that looked as though it had leaves, but it was not producing any fruit. And he cursed it. He cursed it because he had an expectation. There is not anyone in this body that does not know what it means to have an expectation about anything. I have expectations of my wife has expectations of me. When I come to church, I have expectations of the preacher of the Word of God. I have expectations about everything. There are very few places. When I work 40 hours a week, I have an expectation of a paycheck. We all have some type of expectations, right?
Yes.
All right. Because you have expectations, why don't you think that God would? God has an expectation that we would humble ourselves. If he tells us in his word, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's what he really means.
Yeah.
That's what he really wants you to do. If there are times in your life and in your seasons of your life that you have been given instructions, and please don't be like the old me. I have received so many instructions in my walk with God and not known what to do with them. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved of God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. I'm working in God's kingdom, but at the same time, I'm feeling ashamed of being ignorant. Because I wouldn't study. Because I wouldn't sit and see what you participate in is what you love the most. If work is what you love, that's what you'll spend your time trying to make money, and you'll be poorer than somebody that submitted themselves to God, studied, and did the will of God.
Yeah.
You'll always be lacking because you put your money, your finances, your life ahead of what God wants you to do. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Don't put anything before God. And if that's just for the exercise, I want you to lift up your hands. Don't stand up, but lift your hands for a moment and say, Lord, show me anything that I put before you. Sometimes we need to ask those hard things. And he may not answer you this very moment. Just wait till you get in the shower, you start rubbing your back, and all of a sudden he says, that's it? That's what I'm putting before you? I'm putting something before you because, see, here you might be like so ashamed or so bothered by what he tells you that you don't really want to hear it. Or you asked it nonchalantly, like you really didn't really know to know. But you asked, just to be polite. And you asked that question, but I guarantee you at some point he's going to answer that for you. He's going to show you if there are things in your life that are more important than he is. And when he shows you that, don't be discouraged. You should be grateful. You should thank him. You should really be blessed by that because he loves you enough to show you what's wrong. This church has loved me enough to allow me to make mistakes and to grow and learn from them. So don't ever be afraid to be behind you. If it's God's calling you to teach or to minister in this body, don't be afraid of this. It's a safe place. Because see, there has not been one time that someone that is in this body has stood behind this pulpit and not taught me something. I've learned from your perspective. I've learned from your experiences. So much so that when I was going to Brother Andrew's home to teach him a Bible study, the Lord woke me up the morning before the Bible study. He says, you're not going to teach him a Bible study. I'm like, But Lord says, I'm going to teach my Bible. Say, no, you're going to hear him. You're going to know who he is. You always call him brother, but you don't know nothing about him. You always say you're going to pray for him, but you don't know nothing about him. You always say that you're going to go visit, but you don't go sometimes. So when I went to his home, I actually wrote down the things the Lord told me he was going to talk about. And he just started talking. I remember that day. I'll never forget that day. He just started talking. And as he was talking, I was checking things off. And he's looking at me like, oh, what is this? A psychiatrist or something? What are you doing? Why are you checking things off? I was checking off because everything that the Lord said he's going to talk about, he talked about. Why am I saying this? Because God goes before you.
Yes.
Even if it's a day, a week, a month, or a year, he knows what's going to happen. All you got to do is flow in it.
Amen.
When you witness to somebody, he already knew what you're going to witness. But don't take those opportunities to become fearful. Don't let fear stop you.
Yes.
Don't ever let doubt stop you. Don't ever say, I don't have a word. Because he said his spirit's in you. That's why he said, you don't have to prepare before you go before a magistrate or before somebody that you consider important. He said, I will put my words in you and I will speak through you. So we don't have to fear. We don't ever have to fear. Because at some point, you might be saving somebody. He was our Savior so that we might reach out and save someone else. You may think, oh, we're not anybody. Yes, you are. Because the Bible says we are laborers together with him. Sometimes people need to see flesh and bone humble itself. Sometimes people need to know that this person, they may know you after the flesh. They may have known your brokenness. They may have known your life before you came to Christ. But when you come to Christ and they see the changes in you, oh my God, they can testify that God is real because he changed your heart. Thank you, Jesus. So we've all been given access. And that access that we've been given is through prayer. I said it earlier that when our pastor and his wife were given the instructions to pray, to read our Bibles, and to pray, read your Bible. What's the third one? Thank you. Teach your Bible study. I just see, I feel you don't do it. To teach a Bible study. And when you do that, you're not doing it necessarily for the people that you're ministering to. You're doing it for yourself. You keep yourself in your own faith. You keep believing that you're... When you read something, it's like, ah, that's powerful. And then you give God an opportunity. An opportunity to show you revelations. I doubt it. I doubt very much if you ever get revelation when you listen to a song. Unless it's a godly song. I mean, it's just like when you're in the Word of God, he said his Word is Spirit, and his Word is truth. And it's better to have the truth and the Spirit operating in your life than the world.
Right.
My wife and I heard a testimony this morning about a man who was a rapper. And he said that he went to a set, he was the first act, so he went on and he was rapping on the stage, and he said he heard a voice speak to him and said, go to the back of the sanctuary. So he goes to the back of the sanctuary. The next man gets up and he starts rapping, but he said, I was looking at the stage, at the man rapping, and the words that he was saying, I saw dark figures coming out of his mouth and going into every person. He said, I saw the countenance of those people change. The women became more seductive and the men became more angry. He said, I literally saw it, and he wasn't a Christian rapper, but I said, he said, God was showing me how the devil works through music.
Yes.
And he said, if the man was cussing or if he was saying something derogatory, if he was saying anything that was mean, anything he was saying was literally going into the hearts of people.
Yes.
Darkness. Darkness. So think about it this way. When you listen to that old stuff that you said, well, it's just music, or see, you will always excuse what's not of God. You'll always have an answer why I still listen to this. Because, see, you didn't know that God was speaking to you so that he could sanctify you. And, see, sometimes your courage and your strength in stopping something gives someone else the courage to stop and to turn away from and to walk away from it. It's possible. I met a woman at my job. She was an alcoholic, she said, for many years. But then when I met her at my job, she said, I've been clean for 2 years. And she said, I don't mean to be gross, but she said, when I stopped waking up and not knowing where my night, where I was at, what, where my house was at, when I woke up and didn't know what I had done previously, I said, I got tired. She said, I just got tired. There's people that you're going to meet that are tired of sin, that are tired of living in the world but not having an answer. But then, see, I'm trying to say to you, stop saying, sitting back, and I hope this is one word that we stop speaking in this church, is I'm shy. Get rid of it. That's your excuse. That's the thing that you're hiding behind. You're not shy. If you were at a Walmart and they said, sale, and blue light came on, you'd be running, you wouldn't be shy. Push the folks out the way. I'm getting this. This is mine. Struggling. Oh, I saw that one time. It was scary. I was a sales clerk. And they have priced something the wrong way. Like, for instance, if it's a $500 TV, we got priced at $100. You should see. I don't care how big they were. You know how the Bible says that woman pushed through the crowd to get to Jesus' hand. They pushed through that crowd to get to that TV. I was like, oh my God. And they didn't care who. Kids flying up. It's like, it was like. And the looks on their faces. Oh my God. I said, I know what it's like when you really want something. Gotta be careful. How bad we want it. We gotta want God like that.
That's right.
Make up our minds that we want God to move in our lives that way. And you hear these testimonies, and you have to say at some point, you're gonna either use that testimony because it's being planted in your heart, or you're gonna be that testimony.
Yes.
Someone got healed. I never understood what drinking coffee and drinking pop and drinking all my liquids. Not liquor. Let's make sure that's clear. Drinking all those things that would have effect it would have on my kidneys. I didn't know that it would eventually make them, it would shut them down. But I'm so glad I had a praying wife. I really am. Because I couldn't get out of bed. And she just came. She didn't ask me what was wrong necessarily. She saw me in pain and she came and laid hands on me and God had to heal me. Because of my errors. That's the grace that God has for you. I need you to understand that God has grace for your errors, but he wants you to keep going. Keep pushing forward. Keep understanding that you have access to him through prayer. I'm going to read some scriptures in your hearing. We've already read Matthew 6, verse 5. I want to read to you Matthew 7, 7. Just the next book. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. We read through it, but I want to just stick on the one thing he's saying to you to ask. Ask. Please ask. Don't stay ignorant about anything. There was times when I wanted family members to be saved, and I would say, Lord, why is my sister not going to church? Why does she, when she was a little girl, she used to go to church, but now she doesn't. I invite her to church, and she won't come. When other people invite her, she gets offended. Why won't she come, Lord? And you keep praying. You keep pressing God and so that you get an answer. So one day she walks in the house without any initiation on my part, without me saying a word to her. She says, Eric, you know why I don't go to church? I don't want to sit out my chair. She just started talking. She said, you know why I don't go to church? When I was a little girl, I got sick. I stayed home and from church. And the next day, some good intentioned little girl came to my home. It was a friend of mine. And she said, you know, the Sunday school teacher said something about you. And he said, what was it? And she said, well, I told her you weren't going to be at Sunday school and that you weren't going to be there, that you were sick. She said, well, she only came for the snacks anyway. That one little thing. One little thing like that stopped a grown woman from going. I mean, a little girl to a grown woman from going to school. The little things that you allow to come right out your mouth and think nothing of it, cause someone not to ever go back to church again. Because they got offended and didn't know what an offense was. She was too young to even know what offense was. But she was offended. So God can give you insight to why somebody's not coming. I keep looking at you, Andrew. Man, I can't. The Lord would take me places and I never knew why. I would have a desire, and I'm sharing this with you because you're like me. You'll have desires that go, oh, it's just me wanting to see them. No, sometimes it's the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, I had to go see Andrew. So I go visit Brother Andrew, and we're at his grandma's house. Not knowing that his twin was coming. We didn't even know that. It wasn't planned, but it was part of that Bible study that I was supposed to be doing with you. And so I went to his house, and I'm standing there, and it was so crazy because I've never prophesied over that brother until that day. And what was so powerful to me was that his brother was a witness. His brother was standing on the porch. So sometimes the appropriate time, God's timing and his will all come together and you see something powerful come to pass. Man, that was something. Because Brother Andrew stood there in front of me, and we were out in front of his grandma's house, if I'm not mistaken. Postmen walked by the line. People were walking by us, and the Lord just, and when I say the Lord, I say he fell on me, and I just began to speak. And as I'm speaking, I'm telling him things, and as I'm telling these things, his brother's on the porch witnessing the whole event and weeping. I was like, my God. So he had a witness. He had a reason to be here. He has a reason. God showed him that he was real. So he's without excuse. But see, I don't tell that to tell you something about something I did. I tell you that so that you start praying for Andrew's brother. Start praying for Andrew's family so that they can come. So they can come. See, when we start loving someone else's family like they're ours, we become a family. I want to see her parents come. Can't wait till your dad comes. I was going to say something, but I won't say that. Can't wait till your husband comes. He's been promised family, not just a few, not just the immediate, but family. They'll be here. Twins, brothers, family, cousins, people you're praying for, coming to the body, being filled with God's Spirit, living for God, because we don't have forever. If you believe what was preached here not too long ago, that the Lord's coming soon, you see the condition of the world. You see the condition of the world. People are getting prophetic dreams about the end times. So many things are being said, but he's just telling us all we have to do is ask. Have you ever asked for a soul to be saved? If you haven't, when it happens the first time, you'll get so thirsty and hungry for it, you're going to want it again. I was talking to you about Terrence. I believe he's going to be here. I believe God's going to use him in his kingdom. There are things that he does not know about God, but I believe God's going to change his heart. I believe God's going to transform him. And you guys might wonder, why are you going on about this guy named Terrence? Because I was taught something recently. I know most of you that study know this. When you can see the word pray in the Bible several times, right? But if you don't go to your concordance and find out what pray is talking about, you don't really know what it's saying. Praying is not always just kneeling. There were two, when I said I just learned this recently, again, was that this gentleman taught on two scriptures. Both of those two scriptures had the word pray in them. The first one did not mean the same as the second one, yet in the English it says pray. But when you look it up in your concordance and you look up the other word pray, it means to proclaim, to declare.
Yes.
And so I said, when you read a scripture and it gives you a revelation, that revelation is not for you just to know it, but it's for you to practice it. So then when you pray, you say, well, I declare. I proclaim. I speak these things that are not as though they were. So we're always getting revelations about the Word of God. Amen? But put them into practice. Don't just be filled with knowledge. Put them into practice. So, 7:9. After this manner, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Now, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Anybody know what trespass is?
An offense.
So, when you get offended at work, do you pray about that same night? Or do you let it ruminate, or you chew on it for a while and I can't believe they did this to me? Who do they think they are? I make this just as much as they do. And they treat me like I'm a pet, a puppy. It's all the things that go through your mind about what something someone said to you. I had a boss, and I said, Lord, and this is the strangest thing about this. I had two managers. I prayed for one and she left. I prayed for the other one and she stayed. I wasn't praying that they leave or stay. I was praying for their salvation. So if you pray for somebody salvation and they leave, that means that wasn't your assignment anymore. But God bringing someone else to be in that place. So now we have a man in her place and we have a woman over here. And when I prayed for the woman, her name is Faith. When I prayed for her, it was the most unusual thing because I felt something leaving. I literally felt like something left me. I was like, what is that? And it was more than one thing. I was like, are those things that she said or done to me that had to leave me in order for me to really pray for her? Was I holding things in my heart that would hinder me from really praying for her? And do you know, over time, it's like God had to soften my heart. Because she's a young person, not real young, but she's young enough to offend you. She's young enough to not respect someone my age. And I'm not saying that you have, what you, how I said, you don't have to respect me because of how old I am. You have to respect me just as a person. That's all I was asking, just across the board. Communicate with me. Talk to me. Treat me like I treat you. That's not happening. And so there's a conflict there. And so I started avoiding her, like the old man. Avoiding conflict. I said, I can't avoid my supervisor. So I would text her, I would text all my messages and things to her. You gotta go use one hand, one finger, right? I was texting like that. And I was avoiding her, and then I realized something. The Lord said, whenever you have had conflict with anyone else, when you start talking to them again, something gets torn down. You guys ever experienced that? If you start talking to someone that's offended you, even though you don't feel like it, even though you don't want to, when you start communicating with them, for me, my experience has been something gets broken down. Because the whole thing is the enemy does not want you to talk to somebody that you've been praying for. He wants that opportunity to be there so that you're saying you're the light and you're saying you're the salt, but you can't be a salt or a light to anybody if there's an offense there. And if I'm offended, I'm praying, saying, Lord, don't let me get so easily offended. We've been taught that offense comes from pride. If I get offended, that means I'm prideful. Or I think someone's mistreating me. Or someone's not hearing me. Or someone's not honoring me. But what does the Bible say, though? Before honor is humility. So, Lord, are you letting them disrespect me so I will stay humble? When you don't have God's perspective, you will misperceive or misunderstand what's really going on. So that's why he says to ask. Ask God what you're going through. Talk to him about what you're seeing and what you're involved in. 7-Eleven. If then, I should give the context of this. Let me go back a little further. 7-9 says this. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he would ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Everybody say ask.
Ask.
It's so important that you ask. And you might say, well, I've been asking, I didn't get it. Keep asking. Because see, the only time that you don't receive is because of the veil of your flesh, something you don't see about yourself. Am I asking him in the right posture? Am I humbling myself? You see, there are many things that God wants to talk to you about, but because you're not fasting and praying, because you're not seeking him with a sincere heart, you're just seeking for an answer to what you've been praying about, not doing the will of what he asked you to do. Because if he said to forgive, and you haven't forgiven, and you go in his presence, and you're still asking, it's out of order.
Yes.
Take care of what God's told you. Praise God. And one thing that's really important about asking, God can search your heart. David said it in the Old Testament. He says, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Why is that important? Because only God can do it. You can't do that for yourself. And the thing that I love about the grace of God is that when he shows you something, he'll help you work it out. He won't leave you there. So you don't have to be in despair or unhappy or depressed or sad behind what he shows you. It's just a matter of says we got work to do. Everybody say that with me. We've got work to do. And all that working is working things out of you so that the glory of God can shine through you. All that working that he's doing in you is so that he can be seen and not you. You, your veil, your flesh can get in the way of people seeing God. And it's a beautiful thing about God is that everything that he's asking us to do, he's already done it. He took his flesh to the cross. And he allowed that flesh to be crucified. And after it was crucified, on the day when he said it is finished, guess what happened? The veil was open so that we would have access to our God. When you crucify your flesh, I'm wrapping this up. When you crucify your flesh and you allow God to get the glory, guess what happens? You're dead. And then God can see, others can see God. You understand with me, would you? He's just waiting for us to say they're worth it. What I'm talking about is the lost. My family's worth my sacrifice. I'm willing to be crucified with Christ. And when our crucifixion does not mean we're dying, but it means we're dying to ourselves.
Yeah.
The things that you want to say, you just, God gives you the strength to not say them. The things that, the way, sometimes we join ourselves to people, and God says, no, not now. You're not in that season because their temptations and their lifestyle is greater than what you can withstand right now.
Yes.
It's greater than what you, oh man, some of us are so family oriented that we don't understand that our family can be the very demise to our walk with God.
Amen.
Sometimes you think you're ready for stuff, but you're really not. I'm saying this because some of us have experienced that. He will remove your family because they're your idol. They're the ones that you, oh God, I want to see everybody saved. No, but you need to get saved first.
Yes.
Saved from falling under the influence of what influences your family. Sometimes when you step away from something, you can really see it for what it really is.
Right.
Man, you can see the workings of the enemy in someone's life when you step away from them. See, we are quick to say, I love you, and I want to be with you, and I want to be your friend, but we don't know what bondages they're living in. And then we join ourselves to their bondage, and we're both bound. Blind leading the blind, they both fall into the ditch. There's some things you can't see unless you're away from it. You may have a desire to win your family, but allow God to win you first.
Amen.
Where you trust him, where you live for him, where you belong to him, where you understand, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When you're able to explain the hope of your salvation, to give them an answer for the thing, that the hope that lies within you. When you're able, not someone else. I love how it's just, I'm sorry. She gets calling everybody else, like I've done that with Pastor Marquise as well. Go ask Pastor Marquise. Stop being lazy, church. Stop being lazy. Find out for yourself.
Amen.
What you need to know. And that should be an example. I wasn't able to tell this person that because I haven't studied it. Don't be lazy. Because if you're lazy and you don't know, there may not be someone you can call on. And they may need to know right then. Praise God. We've been given access to the things of God because he first loved us. He was willing to die out to his flesh, not because his flesh had a hold on him, but he wanted to be our example. When he died, the veil was rent in two so that all humanity would have access to him. And then he poured out his spirit and you became the tabernacle. And if you filthy up that tabernacle by the things you say and do, they can't see the glory of God. The glory of God is powerful when it's in a clean vessel. And people are wanting to see what God looks like. They don't want to see you. They want to know that you've been transformed by God, but they don't want to see you. Because there's enough out there in the world to see. They're not spectators. They want hope. They want to see life. They want to see somebody overcoming. And you overcome. You've already overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Your testimony is more powerful when you've been crucified. When something in you has died and you allow Christ to live in you and live through you, how great he is. Can we just lift up our hands for just a moment and consider, Lord, we look to you. Less of us and more of you, Father. Less of our opinions, less of our thoughts, less of our ways, so that our life would so shine before men to bring you glory. If you have a desire for prayer today, please come. If you have a desire for God to speak to you, please come and minister to you by his Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. The musicians are making their way up here. But give him just a few moments to pray, just to be in his presence, thanking him for what he's already done, and knowing that he has so much greater for us, that we would not become complacent, that we will be mindful, that we are living in the last days, not out of fear, but let there be an urgency in us to reach the lost whenever opportunity we're given, and most of all, Lord, to take the time to do the work in us, to change ourselves through the power of your Spirit. When we repent and turn away from the things that have been ensnared, that we've been ensnared by. There are people that should be here that aren't here because they've been ensnared by something. They've been ensnared and not even known it. And you can talk to them and they will say, no, that's not how I see it. That means that their opinion higher than what the Word of God teaches. It means that they said no to God, because God will always speak to his children. God's not a respecter of persons. He wants you to be saved and not to be lost. And when you get entangled with something, he'll talk to you until you come to your end. And when you won't listen, now you won't obey, because you love pleasure more than you love God. I've been there before, church. You have to understand, all of us have been in places where we love the things of this life more than we love God. But God can change your heart so that you love him more. Give him a chance. Trust him. He's wanting us to be transformed into his image and not an image that we made for him. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray that you would bring it back to my remembrance, that you would continue to transform each and every one of us through our obedience and through our willingness to surrender our hearts to you. In Jesus' name.